So, what is Kite about?
So it's about a young girl who's dealing with loss. She's just lost her mum, who's been battling with, say, cancer, but we never really talk about it. And she has to go to leave her house by the seaside and go to live with her grandmother in London, who she doesn't particularly get on with. They're grieving and they're not really seeing eye to eye. And over a few months, they're really, really not getting on. And a girl makes a kite one night, decides to kind of run away with it. And then there's an adventure over London and grandma to find her. But it's them becoming a family again, really, and learning to love each other's differences.
It's a magical adventure,
Yeah.
really, is kind of what it is. And I guess it's the way we're kind of just writing about it earlier on, and it's kind of a guidebook for the lost. So people who have actually experienced this from an audience's point of view, it's about people who have actually experienced loss, and it's just about how that sort of like separates people and distances broken hearts. And it's kind of about trying to find ways to come together. And Rachel thought it would be kind of a good idea to kind of like try and bring some fantasy, something magical to bring this together, and that is the kite that sort of like leads them to a place that they both recognize, and ultimately, and it kind of helps them
Find each
find each
other.
other and take a breath and kind of just let go.
Yeah, the sentiment, I suppose.
That all sounds brilliant. How did you come up with the idea in the first place?
Oh, well, it was me. I was tinkering around with indoor kites. So it's actually come from a visual idea rather than a story based. So I was messing around with indoor kites and doing a bit of research where I found them online. It's a big thing over in America and Japan where they have tournaments for indoor kites. And it's like people in shell suits and moving them around to power ballads and stuff like that. So it seems quite cheesy, but I knew there was something in them that we could use. So we did a few R&Ds and just trying to work out if the kite could be a character because it's an inanimate object and it doesn't have a face like other puppets do. So yeah, we went from there really. And then I was heavily influenced by stories like The Red Balloon, where a young boy becomes friends with a red balloon and then they go off on an adventure. And stories like The Snowman and what else, and Where the Wild Things Are and stuff. So all these stories are kind of dealing with a serious issue of, say, with Snowman, it is about dealing with loss, isn't it? And kind of like, and realizing things just don't last. And that's sad.
Things
That's
just
sad.
change.
Things change, yeah. And with Red Balloon, it's a young lad who then doesn't have any friends, then
Yeah, it's about
about
friendship, it's about
friendship,
companionship.
yeah, exactly. So it was all these things kind of came into my head while I was trying to kind of work out what to do with this kite, really. And then we went from there.
And what's the process been since the idea came to you?
So we've had a few R&Ds. I met Eddie. We did an R&D because it's a play without words and kind of how does it go into dance or does it go into mime or, so where does it lie? So that's when I met Eddie and then we discovered a certain sort of, well, a style of how we're.
One of the things that was really kind of motivating, sort of stimulating for me was the kind of just the thought of climate, weather, nature, and sort of how that kind of can affect just the body, and sort of how extreme wind is really, and how it kind of affects fabrics, and how it affects the body, how we have to lean into things sometimes, the more extreme it gets, and how literally the wind can just tear things apart. I just approached it from the greater arc of that sort of like weather system, really. It was just kind of like how wind blows and becomes basically devastating. That's sort of like a thread for me, sort of through making the physical vocabulary, is kind of always coming back and referencing that greater arc from breath to, I guess, hurricane, all the sort of air in between.
And that was quite exciting for me to see. That's like, oh, right, okay, I could see how the style we could go down within the movement and stuff and storytelling.
How have the actors found performing with a kite?
I mean, I think they love it. I mean, everybody gets entranced by it. That's the beauty of this thing. You can kind of project so much of your own kind of emotions and feelings onto this kite as it's moving because it's such a brilliant thing flying. Things flying in the air are just, gorgeous. I think they've really enjoyed it, haven't
No,
they?
they're loving it. They're loving it. I mean, for us, I mean, we're kind of making this from scratch. I mean, obviously, Rachel's been thinking about it for a while, but it's a brand new
It's still
play.
morphing.
Yeah, we're still finding some beautiful things. And the actors, because they're so used to having text to follow, they basically just have one through line, which is voiceless. So it's really, I think it's been quite tricky for them, but they're constantly asking questions. They're constantly questioning us.
Yeah.
And that's a brilliant process. So it's collaborative. There's a kind of great conversation that kind of like happens every day. But ultimately it's really exciting.
Yeah.
The work is kind of really exciting because we have to just kind of do it with our mouths closed and just kind of see what comes up. So we're finding things in silence.
And it's amazing how much you can communicate without speech. You know, our communication is just, you know, done without any words. So it's just being observant of people, of human behaviour and of...
Well, that was one of the first exercises that really I did exciting. With the cast here. It was kind of like just got them to observe each other's habitual nature whilst they were talking about themselves. Mm. They kind of... It's really fascinating how we have our own little quirky sort of things to express particular things that we've kind of basically developed over our lives. And we talked about why they might be there, et cetera, et cetera. So it was the real sort of like, we put a fine magnifying glass right on to sort of physicality rather than thinking of dance and thinking over gesticulation or mime. We actually came from a very sort of base physical place.
Yes, it's human behaviour.
Yeah, it was just human behaviour.
But exaggerated.
Yeah, and it kind of came from stillness, really, which is the hardest thing to be when you're trying to do a play without words, is be still.
Yeah.
Great. And Kite is featuring in the London International Mime Festival.
Yes.
And you're touring the country, and obviously you're coming to Oxford. Are you excited about the tour?
Oh, yeah. No, it's great. I mean, it's always brilliant to kind of get our work out and about. But yeah, I think we're doing a nice amount of kind of places that we're going to. I'm trying to get up north as well, you know, so it's not just south.
How does Kite compare to previous productions that The Wrong Crowd have done?
Well, there's no words in this one, so that's a big one. It's quite different, but there's always an inventive thread to our work. So it's just trying to kind of reanimate the space that you're working in as much as you can. There's fantasy in it. There's something that we always kind of like enjoy working with. But yeah, and it's quite a modern story, but it's a timeless story, isn't it? Mm. Which we always kind of do. But our previous ones have been existing fairy tales that then we've mashed up and made our own. This is something from scratch, even though we're borrowing from ideas from other things, like there's this like Mary Poppins feel to it. There's a slight kind of, you know, there's influences, but it's not necessarily taken from another story and then mashed up. Yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah, it is quite different, but the same in a way.
I think it's so beautiful from my point of view. Is without a play without words is it sort of invites the composer, sort of.
Oh yes, yeah.
Isabel Willibridge to just create voices through sound and really sort of listen to the language of the rather than sort of being a support. It's actually something that she has a sort of. The job of kind of carrying.
Yeah, yeah, it's narrating in a way.
It's narrating, you know, so it's just a lovely experience for her as well. Yeah. It's a hard job for her, but, you know, the music that she's actually bringing into the room is just really stunning.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Mm. So I suppose we always use music, quite a heavy influence within our work, because I think that visuals and music need to be like work side by side and kind of enhance each other. But yeah, with this one, it's a full score all the way through. So that's new for us as well. Yeah, it's kind of communicating through other ways this time than previous shows. Storytelling, yeah.
Cool. And what's next for The Wrong Crowd?
Ah, I want to sleep. I'd like Christmas again after a holiday. Next for us is kind of dreaming up. Got quite a few things just kind of bubbling away. And we'll see where this takes us in a way. And then kind of go from there. You know, I'd love to do a wordless piece again. I've loved it. But what would that be? We've got ideas, but nothing's,
Well, we actually kind of discovered a few shows as we've been rehearsing.
Oh, yeah.
Because the actors have just kind of been overly expressing themselves. And we've discovered that there's probably a play we could make about Robot Granny.
Yeah.
Which is sort of serious. Yeah, well, I'm really serious about it. I think it's a great idea.
Robot Granny. What's the other one? There's Mothers, isn't there?
There's been loads
of stuff about Granny. Granny's been a massive influence on this. It's been good.
The cast have just been great.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the main things. It's like the cast is sort of like, we've just kind of thrown them in the deep end and they've just been absolutely amazing.
A few of them haven't puppeteered before. A few of them haven't kind of done much movement stuff before. And they've been brilliant.
It's been a learning curve for us all.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it really difficult to puppeteer with an inanimate object compared with having a puppet with a face?
Yeah, it is quite, it's trickier, but I think you just, yeah, you can find character within anything. You know, you can pick up a spoon and it can become something. It's just finding the right voice. Yeah, voice for it. Yeah, finding the right character for it. No, yeah, I think anything can become animated, but it just wouldn't have human characteristics, maybe. Mm. Yeah. So I don't think it's that hard really at all. It just takes a bit more time.
It's harder from the audience's point of view because you have to draw them in, and that's the key to it, isn't it? You have to make them believe, and then once you've got them, then they'll believe anything, you know.
But with the kite, yeah, we give a flavour of its different. There are slightly different sides to it, but it doesn't have a massive like vocabulary of personality. There's certain sort of ranges that it has. But what's brilliant about the kite particularly is that it emotes so much. It lets us just kind of like read into it. I haven't really come across a kind of puppet like that until now, really.
I mean, from my point of view also as well, being a sort of just a movement dance physical person, I've heard reference to puppet police, I kind of like, I think it's easy to fall into the traditional ways of kind of like animating objects and kind of satisfying all those puppet aficionados there. But I think it's really wonderful when you find really new breaking the rules sort of vocabulary.
I think
that's the wonderful thing about the wrong crowd is they're always trying to find something very different, something unconventional. Yeah. It'll be a bit of a kind of joy for kids to kind of see a new language, see these inanimate objects come to life and hopefully carry them through the show.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, guys. It's been great talking to you.
Yeah, and you, Katie.